Wer ist Holger?
Ich rufe ihn doch einfach mal, der ist bestimmt einfach auch.
Holger?
Ja?
Das neue Band hast du schon rein?
Ja, das neue Band ist drin.
Werden eigentlich die Videos?
Ja?
Ich habe auf dem Server geschaut, den du angeschrieben hast, also eine Fotografkiste.
Achso, die da auf der Tafel.
Das sind ja jetzt 350 MB, dann macht ja das Post-Processing, damit es nicht mehr 350 MB sind.
Ich gucke mir jetzt diesen Talk nicht an, um mich genau mit solchen Fragen gerade mal kurz zu beschäftigen.
Okay.
Ich würde das mit Ton sehr dieses Wochenende machen, damit ich nicht meinen Backlog noch größer
habe. Ich würde hier sprechen den Ton alles komplett nach.
Ja.
Synchronisieren wir.
Hast du die Mail geschickt? Hast du die Mail geschickt?
Ich habe ein Meeting abgehalten.
Das hat aber einen Vorteil, also das kommt ja meiner nicht mehr.
Oh.
Nochmal.
Oh.
Das tut mir jetzt so gut. Ich
bin da hinten auf Pfennig gelandet. Sag euch, es gibt Leichen.
Ja, allerdings.
Dann machen wir beide.
Okay. So, hello everybody. I'm going to talk about AutoTunes related build issues that you probably have came across if you're maintaining a package that uses AutoTunes. You might have gotten an email telling that your package was built with the wrong lib tool and you didn't know what to do exactly because it's a very complicated matter. So I'm going to explain quickly how the AutoTunes work and then have a look at the most common issues that arise with our build daemons and how they interact with the Debian packaging system. And of course I will explain how to fix most of those issues. So what are the AutoTunes? They are a set of tools called AutoConf, AutoMake, LibTool, GetText, and there are a few others. Their main goal is to provide a framework to have a simple bootstrap, configure, and make procedure. Most of the time you're done with it. You also get a lot of problems with it because the versions change their syntax from time to time and old AutoTool scripts no longer work with a more recent version, which is why you have at least 5 versions of AutoMake in Debian at the same time, which are mutually incompatible, of course. But once you get used to that fact, they work pretty well. I will explain what the upstream and what you have to do with the package that uses AutoTools. What upstream does is write a configure.ac file, which used to be called configure.env. It contains checks for libraries that are on the system, for headers, for compiler flags, for compiler features, for features of the system, such as is there a slash dev directory, you can check almost everything you want. There are macros in the configure.ac file that you can also call shell commands and do almost everything you want. This will be used in the configure phase of the configuration of the program. So you're sure that the features are checked at configure time and not on your machine or based on various assumptions. For instance, we used to check for your name, and if it said Linux, we would just say, okay, it's Linux, so we now have this header available, this one. This library is, of course, installed. And this was not a very good solution because there are many flavors of Linux, so AutoConf was useful even if we were only using Linux. But now we have other kernels in Debian, so they are becoming a must-have for some applications. What the other file that Australians need to write is makefile.am. It's kind of a simplified makefile which just points the targets of your project, a few rules. Afterwards, this makefile.am is changed into a makefile.in by AutoMake, and then by the configure script. I will give a bigger picture of the whole process afterwards. And then once Upstream has written those two files, and of course has written the code of his program, of his project, he just calls a bootstrap script or just calls its contents by hand. There are not many many different programs to call to bootstrap, and then Upstream can distribute the tarball with everything configured and ready to run the configure script. So how does a configure.ac file look like? It starts with a few configuration options which tell it where the temporary files are going, what is the main source file, the name of the project, the .h file that will be used by the project, which is almost always config.h. And then you can make all the checks you want. So here you have a few examples. You have ac check funcs, which checks for libc functions or functions that are present on the system without the need of an extra library. You can check for headers, for instance, samka.h. You can check for external libraries. For instance, this one checks for inet python on libresolve, which is available on Linux, for instance, but not on all the versions of Solaris. But you can check for almost everything. And then all those features that you have checked appear magically in your program when you include the config.h file. You can also check for compiler features. The check at the bottom is a check for Altibec features, which only exist in GCC since 3.3. Before that, you had to activate extra headers and so on. So you can have a very fine idea of what your system is able to do in terms of build environment. And then you tell the configure.ac script where the main files are. You can have several main files in your project, depending on how you want to handle the make thing, either with a monolithic make file or with recursive makes. It's really how you like it. And then you have the makefile.am file. This is a really short example of a binary program which uses one.c file and two headers. you can force extra compiler flags in the makefile, but usually you just define them conditionally in the configure script, and they are automatically appended here. For instance, the check for libresolve will automatically append dash L resolve to the libs flags, and then you don't even have to put them here. It will automatically link your binary with libresolve if you want. And so that's pretty simple makefile.am. You don't have to learn anything on how to call GCC, how to call the linker on different platforms, whether the binary should have a .exe suffix like on Windows and so on. Everything is handled for you, and you just run make, and you can run make clean and so on, and everything is done magically. So that's a simple picture. Here's an example of main.c. So at the beginning you include your config.h file, which was generated by the configure script. And then you can check for features with ifdef. simple because I didn't include libtool or getText or anything that make it become even worse. But that's the process of bootstrapping your source after you have written. There was some kind of issue. So what upstream writes is the configure.ac file and the makefile.am file. All the rest are temporary files created by the auto tools, which are necessary, which you can hide in a dot directory if you don't like to see them. So you start with AC local, which extracts used macros from the configure.ac file and makes a compilation of these macros for further expansion by autoconf. So it creates a temporary file, which is then used by autoconf together with the configure.ac file to create the configure script. This one is shipped with the package after bootstrapping. Then you have autoheader, which creates a config.h.in. This one contains a list of all the features that can be activated. Most of them might be activated, some of them will not. They are just commented. And afterwards, when you run the configure script, it will check for all the lines in config.h.in and create the final config.h file for your specific build target. Then you have automake, which uses both the configure.ac and the written makefile.am file to create the makefile.in, which is also shipped with the package. And the configure script, when you run it, will create the makefile. So the configure sequence is not part of the bootstrap process, but it gives a better idea of what the final products are. Once you have the makefile and the configure.h files, you can just run make and everything works. Or should. So we have a lot of craft. These are some of the temporary files that are created by the whole bootstrap process, and they can be a problem because they are shipped with your package, and if you have a bug in your bootstrap programs, such as an outdated libtool or stuff like that, those files are wrong and they will not change whatever the build system is. So we at Debian, we use some software that is no longer maintained, and we always have such problems that the auto-tools files are outdated. But it's not the only problem. So all this craft has to be updated when necessary. So, you have all been laughing at some of my auto-tool jokes, so I know that it's a bit bloated, that it's slow, that it's very old and doesn't always work, it can get very complicated, but it works most of the time. Personally, I don't know anything that works better for all that the auto-tools were created for. There are better things if your only targets are Linux, Windows, and Mac OS X. You have pretty decent tools, but once you want to do cross-compiling, building for embedded platforms and so on, you get pretty complicated tests to do, and the other choices are just not enough for the moment. So we are stuck with the auto tools, especially since we package software more, which is no longer maintained. So don't troll yet. We'll have the questions later if we want to troll about the auto tools, but just not yet. How do the auto tools integrate with Debian packaging? Well, pretty well. We have a configure rule in Debian rules. We have a build rule, which quite surprisingly match the configure and make phases of the configure of the other tools on a build scheme. So you shouldn't have anything to do if everything was for the better in all worlds. But as I already stated, we have a few problems with outdated tools and buggy tools and tools that are not exactly the original libtool, which are the gentoo libtool, and if Upstream doesn't use Debian, you have even incompatibilities with the same versions of the auto tools, so you get problems at one moment. I will start to talk about a very important thing that probably doesn't cause any build problems right now, but that you may face in a later time if you are packaging a Noto tool using package, because you shouldn't call configure from your Debian rule script without any arguments. You should, unless you really know what you're doing, you should use a process that is explained in the autotool dev package in the readme.debian file, which explains why you should add specific arguments to the build process to avoid problems when building without using dpackage build package, or when you're cross-compiling, or when you're on a very new architecture that is very recently supported, and so on. So what you have to do is add this code to your Debian rules file, which calls dpackage architecture to check for the build system and the target system. And you will be safe if you do what this file does. So remember it. If you only read one file about the auto tools, read this one, because it gives a lot of best practices for package maintainers, how to fix issues that I will not cover in this talk because we don't have much time. But it's really a must read for every developer, in fact. So, as I said, even a very carefully bootstrap package can have problems, because if it was bootstrapped 5 years ago, it didn't know about today's architectures such as AMD 64 or our K3BSD port and so on. So this can be a problem even if all the care was taken to do it. And sometimes the maintainer screwed the package because he thought that if there's a problem with outdated AutoTools things, I just have to run the bootstrap process during the configure phase of Debian rules, and everything will work. But in fact, this exposes the package to other problems, which I will talk about. So Upstream is not always the faulty here. Okay, so the first common build problem is configure failing to detect the architecture, because most of the time it's too recent to be supported. So the problem is that two temporary files, which are config.gets and config.sub, are outdated. These files contain information about your architecture, about all architectures, and how to detect them, and so on. And if they are outdated, configure is not able to detect your system. So there are three ways to solve this problem. You can yourself, before you build the package, run the bootstrap process on a Debian system up to date. You can run it in your Debian rules with a few problems that I will talk later about. Or you can, in the Debian rules, instead of bootstrapping the whole system, you can just copy the config.gets and config.sub files, which are in the autotools-dev package. So you just have one package to build Debian on, and you're sure that it's always the latest version in, on the Auto Builder, so that it's pretty decently up to date. The second common build problem is a library which is not linked with the correct libraries. For instance, if you have a package with which builds two libraries and the second is linked with the first one, sometimes instead of linking with the first one which is in your package, it will link with the first one which is installed on the system. So one easy way to solve the problem is to build conflict with yourself, which doesn't always work. But the real problems comes from a too old version of lib2. So you have to bootstrap the package again with a more recent lib2. So again, you have two choices. Either bootstrap the package and ship it bootstrapped again with a very huge .diff. Or you can bootstrap it in the build in the Debian rules phase. So bootstrapping in Debian rules is a hack, and it, most of the time it doesn't work. So try not to do it. If you did it in one of your package, please consider the other solution that I'm proposing, that is also proposed in the AutoTools dev package that everyone should use because it's much nicer and it gives a lot less of bad surprises. Because this solution will create it will create more problems in the clean rule, which means that if anything goes wrong in the bootstrapping on in the make rule and you try to run Debian rules clean and start again, you will not end in the same situation as before you bootstrapped. It's really a nightmare to clean up everything after a failed build.
There's toggle in toggle, but...
Yes, you can do that. If you have a toggle in toggle, you cannot use the diff. So you
don't have to clean it.
Yeah, you don't have to clean it, but then you cannot ship. Well, you have other problems such as you don't know what's on the build system you don't know what's on the build system, and you have to carefully build depend on the right versions of the AutoTools, and that's pretty hairy stuff afterwards as well. And it becomes more difficult to debug because you have you don't know what was created at build time. In the make files, and if you have incompatibilities, it's very hard to track. But it's a solution, yes. So the recommended solution by the AutoTools maintainer and by Ben, who has spent a lot of time fixing these problems, is simply to bootstrap in your build tree and ship the huge diff.gz with your package. So it's big, but it gives you less bad surprises afterwards. I already said what was worth saying here. It's very important to know how to properly bootstrap because there is an order in which problems have to be called. You have to first run lib2ice, then autoconf and autoheader. Then AC local, sorry, then autoconf. It's very, very easy to get it wrong, and then it works well on your package, but then you ship it to the auto builder and the build fails because of timestamp issues and so on. You have to be very careful with what versions of the AutoTools you run. You cannot just run AC local or AutoMake. You have to watch, you have to search in the makefile.in or in the aclocal.info, well, in every temporary file, which precise version of the AutoTools was used for this one. because as I said, there are many compatibilities between the versions, so be careful. You also have the problem of autoconf, which doesn't really come with several versions. Instead, you have a front-end autoconf binary which checks for features requested in your configure.ac file and then calls the correct version of autoconf. So it's always a good idea to config with autoconf 2.13, for instance, because it's completely buggy and your bootstrap rule could call it by accident if you don't pay attention. So be very careful in which versions we are using to bootstrap the package. And this is true also if you try to bootstrap from Debian rules at build time. You have to remove all the craft time I talked about in a previous slide. So all the temporary files need to be removed before you bootstrap your package. Otherwise, some of the programs that you call may notice that they are here and use them instead of using the ones that are on the system and which are clean. So pay attention to that as well. The final big problem I'm trying to talk about is direct consequence of rebootstrapping the package in either at build time on in Debian rules or in your own repository. So what happens is that it works fine on your computer, then you ship it to the autobuilder, and the autobuilder either calls the bootstrap process in the wrong order, or it supplies your .diff.gz to the autoconf files, but you don't know when you apply a diff what the timestamps of the files will be. So if an autoconf file is fixed after a node-to-make file, for instance, since node-to-make has to be called afterwards, it will notice that one file is more recent than the other, and it will try automatically to launch the bootstrap procedure itself, and of course it will get it wrong because it doesn't know about alternative versions of every software that can be formed in Debian. So you have this problem as well. There are again three possibilities to fix that problem, which is fixing the timestamps, build depending on the right versions of every program so that the automatic rebootstrapping works. So this is a bad idea because you get ugly build dependencies, and if a new version of automate, for instance, appears in the repository and you didn't know about it, then your build dependencies get wrong and you have to fix your package again and so on. And the third solution is AM maintainer mode, which I will explain a bit later. So, an easy fix for the timestamp issue that you can use either after you rebootstrap your package locally or when rebootstrapping it build time is simply to use touch on all the files in the right order. It works pretty decently and you just call it before calling configure. Most of the time it works. You have tricky cases where it doesn't really work, and essentially when you use dpatch or common patch systems, because when you call the clean rule, for instance, it will rebootstrap and the timestamps will be wrong before you have the time to clean them, so you have more problems than expected, but it's a pretty decent temporary solution if you don't want to touch the package too much. And then the good solution is to use AM maintainer mode, which is a very recent addition to AutoConf. It simply tells the AutoTools not to rebuild everything if the timestamps are wrong. So you have to wonder why it only appeared recently, but well, at least it's there and it's saved today every time you use it. So just add AM maintainer mode to your config.configure.ac or IAM, rebootstrap everything, or just call autoconf, which usually is enough, but make sure that your version of autoconf is exactly the same that was used by upstream, and you are safe.
Are you safe?
Yes.
With this, this macro adds a configure option, right?
It changes the mode and adds a configure option to go back to the former behavior.
Right.
So if you want the former behavior, you have to explicitly put the
flag. Disable maintainer mode.
Enable maintainer mode.
All right.
Maintainer mode is the mode where the timestamps cause the everything to be rebuilt. So this enables the ability to enable maintainer mode.
Yeah, right. And the question now, the question is there a macro that adds those options but that not change the default behavior so that
no.
I can tell my upstream, please add the macro. It won't change the behavior to me, but it will enable me not to have to really.
Can
no.
we just cut that later?
Yeah.
I don't know how
you can trick or to make autoconf in doing that, but it's not. Well, you'll have an ugly solution. So I can't really answer this question. I don't know. So it's your job to tell upstream whether you're maintaining the package or you're just fixing the bug in an orphan package that wasn't maintained in years, that they should use AM maintainer mode, which should be mandatory and
so that's automated documentation tells you that AM maintainer mode should only be used in certain cases. In the man page from AutoMake, somewhere is a page about AM maintainer mode, which discourages the usage of it.
Which
gets upstream to deny using it. I had that with a few upstreams lately. They don't want to change because the info page about the maintainer mode doesn't say you should use it.
But it's new documentation, it's broken.
It's an info page.
I haven't read about. Did it give specific reasons for not using it?
Because it was in that mark page from the AutoMake tools to not use it if you don't have a special need for it.
Okay, but we have a special need for it.
Special need. Yes, a special need is a vanity in the scripts, but send it to upstream if mark
okay,
page
but it's a lesser evil because. The AutoTools are really broken with that regard because they don't know about controlled versions installed on the system. The AutoTools simply assume that they are the most recent version and that they have no bugs and so on. If that were the case, we wouldn't need this mode, but unfortunately, we need them. If they don't agree to use AM maintainer mode, at least you can convince them of using a more recent AutoTools to bootstrap that package. Because if they do so, you will not have to patch anything. The build daemons will probably build the packages, and so you won't have all the problems that you had before. But they may occur later. But they will. Well, you will have less problems if they use the proper AutoTool version.
Perhaps you should just patch the info page and miss the Debian. Upstream uses Debian. I mean, it's free software, so you can patch it. You know?
Probably didn't write in section. control about anything you just said, please do so.
So there is no way to have A and maintain a mode and have it enabled by default. So in my demo rules, I
right.
Just
you can do it by looking at how the macro expands and simply activate the relevant flags in before it. For I don't know what's in this macro, but you have AM underscore something variables that. Let's say whether the user activated that flag or not, and you can just set this shared variable before. But if in the future the macro changes, it will not work any longer. So it's ugly, but if you really need it and really need AM maintainer mode at the same time,
it's
a decent solution.
It could be a valid whistling bug for a stream to add an argument for the macro that. You can
set the default behavior.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just let the standard configure have a disabled maintainer mode option. So that
that's
always both options. You could just
the rationale behind this is that users forget to use that flag and they get stuck by the bootstrap process, which requires them to install autoconf and automake and so on. So the end users who compiles the software are stuck with this. Whereas the maintainer, the upstream developers know about it and they know how to explicitly activate this this option. So it's easier to have it this way because you get less requests from your users who don't understand what's going on. I think it was kind of a compromise between the AutoTools developers and upstreams who didn't want to get email from their users about the...
Yeah, it's true. I would leave the default as it is, but just have the configure script have an option that lets me...
Yeah, it has this option, but we're talking about that you can't set currently when you use a maintainer mode, you can't set the default to on or off. So the default is fixed, and that's the current problem we're discussing.
Yeah. The default is what Debian wants, and it's not what upstream.
And what's good for the users as well.
But if upstream doesn't like it, he won't add it. So you want him to be able to specify his default.
I have no clear argument to convince upstream to use it.
Right.
Could we just catch Debian's version of the AutoTools? I mean, it's
that doesn't
change the default. It's more better for distribution.
Upstream doesn't use Debian anyway.
So they don't care. I mean,
for Debian, using AM maintainer mode without any argument is a proper way.
The problem is that in most cases. Upstream generates the file, so upstream already has bootstrapped it. So the version never gets into the process.
Yeah, but bootstrapping it's not in Debian systems, right?
In most cases.
There are a lot to listen.
Any other questions? Okay, so
I have one. Where did you get the pictures?
Which ones?
All the funny ones.
This one, most of them I looked on Google Images. I think this one was probably a search for battle. The previous one I found it on Wikipedia. It's Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
This one. Well, this one is called the Hey Hey Guy. It's a trend on internet forums to doctor this image and have it say anything you like.
So where can we find your slides?
I don't know yet. Is there a common repository?
Holger wants to collect and he asked me about my slides.
Okay.
He wants to send an email to all persons.
Okay, I will put them on my webpage in 10 minutes, unless we are going to eat.
No?
No.
The knowledge will
my web image. It's sam.zoi.org, or you can search for my name on Google and you'll find it. There's a lecture menu
same for every blog about it, so that you can find the URL in the network.